Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
Everyone likes free stuff, and free food might be right under your nose. And it might be as simple as thinking about your surroundings a little differently. This is WGLT's Grow, your podcast source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. I'm Mike McCurdy. Thanks for stopping by for another edition of Grow.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
A lot of food is becoming ripe right now. How hard is it to find some good free stuff just growing out there, free for the picking?
I don't think it's hard at all. And if you're a gardener, plant lover type, as you're moving around this great world that we live in, you know where this stuff is at. It could be berries. It could be potatoes. It could be a number of things that you've just observed, and some of it you can take.
I see apple trees in city parks. Can I just pick those apples?
Well, the short answer is no, because the parks all kind of have the same policy of take nothing and leave nothing. But if you have someone to ask, it never hurts to ask, because you'd be surprised to find a lot of times the answer is yes, like it here at the Fell Arboretum. You might want to ask too, because there could have been something applied to that tree that you need to have knowledge of. There could have been a pesticide or a fungicide applied.
I see people harvesting blackberries along the Constitution Trail. This is a linear park. Why not just take it if it's going to fall to the ground? And do we have to call regarding the Constitution Trail, do you think?
Well, I think that is a little bit different. And the Constitution Trail is a unique feature here in Bloomington Normal. Not that other towns don't have it, but I think that's a case where that is a foraging opportunity. Nature likely planted those bushes there. And it's not usually useful to leave all the fruit to fall to the ground. Say if you found a cherry tomato growing out behind somebody's house where the seeds were deposited there by nature. That's a case where I think, yeah, you might want to just go ahead and help yourself.
When it comes to the community garden, of which I'm a part, there are some rules, but I don't know that everyone knows those rules. What do you think is a good guide for these kinds of spaces, community gardens?
Well, one can harvest from a public or shared garden. If it's a shared plot that's there, you may not be able to utilize it at all. It might be for people that have made a reservation and have kind of staked out a small area in this garden. Community gardens or public shared gardens oftentimes have signage, and it's a clear policy stated that you got to do a little bit of work. You got to pull some weeds. You got to do something other than just showing up and taking everything. And they oftentimes at those gardens have donation boxes and exchange type items where you could either leave something in exchange for what you're taking or log in with a text or an email or sometimes even a written ledger to say, hey, I came here and I edged all the beds, I pulled the weeds, and I took a couple handfuls of cherry tomatoes.
So at my garden plot, I always expected some pilfering, right? So I knew some green tomatoes were going to go missing. I knew some ripe tomatoes were going to go missing. But cabbage is a different thing, right? So I only had six of those.
Oh.
And I had one left, and I was going to do some tacos, and I wanted the cabbage for the garnish for the tacos, and went down, and it was gone.
And you got an unpleasant surprise.
So it was kind of a bummer, but I, you know, you can take stuff, but don't take the last one.
That seems like a good rule, right? If you didn't plant it or you don't know for sure,
don't take the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Black walnuts are seemingly everywhere. I see them on the Constitution Trail. I see them smashed on the street. What about nuts from nut trees? Are those fair game?
Again, that policy is similar to public parks, but we like to tout the Fell Arboretum here at ISU, and we have pecan trees. We have several. We have a couple of enormous ones right in the quad in the center of the university, and I have witnessed people picking the pecans up off the ground. The squirrels get some of them. A lot of them get pushed into earth during mowing the turf, and the rest just go to waste. So I think that that's a great source to draw from, a usable nut product, a little different for the black walnuts, and we can talk about that. But we also have lots of horse chestnut and buckeye trees in the arboretum. Those nuts are collected to grow other trees, but they're really popular as harvest decor. They look great in a big bowl. They look nice in a glass cylinder on a table.
But you don't eat those.
But when you're done using them, you can go and throw them right out in the yard and let the animals and nature have them.
And we'll talk a little bit more about foraging for things that you don't eat. Black walnuts are edible, right?
Yes. I think one has to be very hungry.
Okay. However. Are they bitter?
The dichotomy is that the amount of calories it takes to get that salvageable nut is a deficit to what you get, and it's the English walnut that we all love and adore. It's a little easier, and you're not at a calorie deficit in harvesting it.
So the black walnut's edible, but it takes some work to actually get to the nut meat. Any nuts or foods we should be concerned about harvesting from the wild if you don't actually know for sure what you're harvesting? I harvested some wild green onions or chives while camping once, and the person I was with was pretty concerned, kind of freaked out. I was like, well, do you really know what this variety of onion is? And is it edible? I don't know if it's going to kill me, but could it cause some gastrointestinal distress? I think all of those were good points that I hadn't considered. He ate them, assuming that I already knew. He found out afterwards, and we didn't have any problems. But
though those are great points, and along with what's been sprayed, has there been anything applied to this plot or to this area? There's another tricky bend in the road there, Mike. So if your gut is not used to eating these naturally occurring foods, you may have some distress, even if it's 100% pure. So I think that if you don't know for sure, which applies to the mushrooms and the fungi that we eat, like the chicken of the forest.
That's the first thing that comes to mind with harvesting wild things and being careful is mushrooms. A lot of them look alike. Mm-hmm. You have to really know what you're doing or you could die.
Yeah, that's right. You could. And, so it's easy to separate the morels. So you get your browns and your grays. They look a lot alike, but there are no other mushrooms that really resemble the morel. Same would be true for a shiitake. If you were in, say, Arkansas, where lots of them are cultivated by farmers, by small plot farmers, they're really easy to identify. But so chanterelles are a mushroom that are on the list of what people forage for. But, there are several other mushrooms that have that glossy yellow appearance, and it would not be good to eat them. So if one doesn't know for sure, it's just not worth the chance of taking that risk.
We talked about community gardens. There's also the food forest. And again, you should probably look for posted rules, things like that, to make sure that what you're harvesting is a good idea. But let's talk about things that you forage and don't eat. Hedge apples, are they actually an insect repellent, as I've heard?
I don't know that if there's any scientific evidence.
So why harvest them?
They look nice.
Okay.
They're interesting. And they just go to waste on the ground. And you don't have to waste them just because you're using them to celebrate the bounty of harvest time in fall. Just like with the nuts, if you do bring them in the house for decor, or you're trying to combat the late season spider deluge that we encounter, you can still throw them back out into the yard, into the property, and kind of return them to the soil forming and food products for the animals.
And you touched on buckeyes, horse chestnuts, acorns, things like that for decorations that you wouldn't necessarily eat. Pine cones might fall into that same category.
Right.
What about firewood?
Firewood is a especially sensitive matter. You can move firewood from one end of town to another and unknowingly carry a pathogen. It could be something as simple as black ants or maybe even termites.
Or it could be the emerald ash borer.
Or it could be emerald ash borer. And you just don't want to move firewood around. Use it where it is created.
Good wood, though? Oak, hardwoods?
Oaks, some of the best.
All right. If you have questions about foraging or anything in the garden or landscape, get in touch, and we might answer your questions on an upcoming episode of Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.